So you know all this stuff in the news lately about the measles outbreak down in Texas?
Right.
It's got a lot of people kind of freaked out, wondering what it all means for them.
Yeah, it's definitely got people's attention.
Well, that's exactly why we're doing this deep dive today. We're going to break it all down. The measles, the vaccine, all of it. We've gone through all the CDC info, and we've got some really interesting insights from an epidemiologist, too. We'll cover everything you need to know.
Exactly. We know you don't have all day to wade through mountains of information, so we're going to cut to the chase and give you the essential facts. What you need to know about the MMR vaccine, that's the one that protects against measles, mumps, and rubella, and the MMRV, which also covers chickenpox. How measles spreads, what to do if you think you've been exposed, all of that.
Right. We're going to lay it all out nice and clear. So we've got two main sources here. One is the official guidance from the CDC on measles vaccination. It's got all the details on who should get it, when they should get it, and any special considerations.
And then we've got this great Q&A with Dr. Elizabeth Jacobs, who's an epidemiologist. She gives us some really practical, down-to-earth insights into how measles works and what it means for all of us.
Exactly. So we're going to put all this together and give you a clear picture of what's going on. Okay, so where do we start? I guess the most logical place is with the MMR vaccine itself. Why is it so important?
Well, the CDC is really clear about this. They say the best protection against measles, mumps, and rubella is two doses of the MMR vaccine. For kids, there's also the MMRV, which protects against chickenpox as well.
And it's not just like a good idea, right? I mean, it
Right.
really works.
Oh, absolutely. The numbers are really impressive. The CDC says one dose of MMR is about 93% effective against measles, 72% against mumps, and 97% against rubella.
Wow, 97%.
Yeah, it's really good. And then when you get the second dose, the effectiveness goes up even more. For measles, it's 97%, and for mumps, it's 86%. And it stays at 97% for rubella.
So basically, it really does what it's supposed to do. And it sounds like you don't need to keep getting it throughout your life, right?
Right. Generally, one or two doses of MMR or MMRV will give you lifelong protection against measles and rubella. The CDC does say that immunity to mumps might decrease over time for some people, but overall, the protection is really long-lasting.
That's good to know. And it's not just about protecting yourself, right? I remember reading something about how it helps the whole community.
Exactly. It's called herd immunity. It's like when enough people are vaccinated, it creates a barrier that makes it harder for the disease to spread.
Right, like a shield.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really important for protecting people who can't get vaccinated, like babies or people with certain medical conditions. Dr. Jacobs, the epidemiologist we mentioned, she really emphasizes that experts strongly recommend childhood MMR vaccination, unless there's a specific medical reason not to, of course.
Makes sense. So, who exactly should be getting this vaccine and when?
Well, the CDC has specific recommendations for different groups. For kids, they recommend two doses. The first one is usually given between 12 and 15 months of age, and then the second dose is given between 4 and 6 years old.
Okay, so that covers the little ones. What about older kids and adults?
If you're older and you don't have what they call evidence of immunity, then they recommend one or two doses at least 28 days apart.
Evidence of immunity. That sounds important. What does that actually mean?
Good question. The CDC says it can be a few things. It could be written documentation that you were vaccinated. So if you can find those old records, that's great. It could also be lab results showing you have immunity or confirmation that you actually had the disease in the past.
Oh, so if you had measles as a kid, you're good to go.
Right. And there's one more thing. If you were born before 1957, you're also considered to have evidence of immunity.
Interesting. Why is that?
Well, back then, before there was a widespread vaccination program, most people got measles as kids, so they developed natural immunity.
Ah, that makes sense.
But it's one exception to that rule. Healthcare workers who were born before 1957, they should still get two doses of MMR if they don't have lab evidence of immunity or a record of having had measles.
Right, because they're more likely to be exposed.
Exactly. Now, there's another group we should talk about. International travelers.
Oh, right, because you might be going to places where measles is more common.
Exactly. It's really important to make sure you're fully vaccinated before you travel internationally. The CDC even has recommendations for babies. If they're between 6 and 11 months old, they should get one dose of MMR before they travel.
Wow, that's young.
Yeah, but they'll still need the usual two doses after their first birthday.
Got it. Any other groups that need to pay special attention to their vaccination status?
Yes, the CDC says that anyone who's at increased risk of mumps during an outbreak might need an extra dose of MMR. Your local health authorities would let you know if that applies to you.
Okay, good to know. And then there are also college students, healthcare workers, and women of childbearing age. They should all make sure they're up to date on their vaccinations.
Right. It's about protecting yourself and potentially your future children as well.
Okay, so we've talked about who should get vaccinated. Now let's flip the script and talk about who shouldn't get the vaccine or who should wait.
Right. There are definitely some things to be aware of. The CDC has a list of what they call contraindications and precautions. So first of all, if you've ever had a severe allergic reaction to the MMR or MMRV vaccine, or if you have any serious life-threatening allergies, you shouldn't get the vaccine.
That makes sense. What else?
If you're pregnant, you should wait until after you've had the baby. And they recommend waiting at least a month after getting the vaccine before trying to get pregnant.
Okay, so pregnancy is a big one.
Right. And then there are people with weakened immune systems. This could be because of an illness like HIV/AIDS or because of medical treatments like chemo or long-term steroid use.
Right, so their immune systems can't handle it.
Exactly. And the same goes for people with a family history of immune system problems. They should talk to their doctor before getting vaccinated.
Good advice. Any other situations?
Yeah. If you have a condition that causes easy bruising or bleeding, you should talk to your doctor first. And if you've had a blood transfusion recently, you might need to wait a bit. Also, if you have active, untreated tuberculosis, or if you've gotten any other live vaccines in the past 4 weeks, you should check with your doctor.
Wow. There are a lot of things to consider.
There are, but it's all about making sure it's safe for you. Oh, and of course, if you're feeling really sick, you should wait until you're better before getting vaccinated.
Right. That makes sense. Now, the MMRV vaccine, the one with chickenpox, are there any special considerations for that one?
Yes. Because it has the varicella vaccine, which is the chickenpox vaccine, if you or anyone in your family has a history of seizures, you should talk to your doctor about it.
Just to be on the safe side.
Right. And if you're taking aspirin or any medications that contain salicylates, you should mention that to your doctor as well. There's a small theoretical risk of a rare condition called Reye syndrome after getting the varicella vaccine if you're taking salicylates.
Okay, so that's a lot of information about the vaccine itself. Now let's talk about measles. Dr. Jacobs called it one of the most contagious airborne pathogens. That sounds pretty serious.
It is. She said if you have measles and you come into close contact with 10 unvaccinated people, 9 of them will probably get infected.
9 out of 10. That's scary.
It is. And here's another thing that's kind of unsettling. The measles virus can stay in the air for up to 2 hours after an infected person has left the room.
So even if the person is gone, you can still get infected.
Yeah, if you're not immune. It's pretty wild.
Wow. So how long does it take for symptoms to show up after you've been exposed?
Dr. Jacobs says the incubation period is usually 10 to 14 days, so you could be infected and not even know it for a while.
And then what happens?
Well, the first symptoms are usually like a cold or the flu. You might have a runny nose, a cough, and a fever.
And then comes the rash, right?
Right. The measles rash usually shows up a few days after those initial symptoms. Dr. Jacobs makes an important point about the rash. She says it can look different on different skin tones. On lighter skin, it's usually red, but on darker skin, it might be darker brown, purplish, or even whitish.
Oh, that's good to know. So it's not always the classic red spots.
Right. And it usually starts around the hairline and then spreads down the body.
Okay, so what if you think you've been exposed to measles? What should you do?
Both the CDC and Dr. Jacobs say you should contact your doctor right away if you think you've been exposed and you're not immune. There are 2 things they might recommend, depending on how long it's been since you were exposed.
Okay, so what are they?
If it's been less than 72 hours, they might give you the MMR vaccine. It might still offer some protection or at least make the illness less severe.
So it's not too late, even if you've been exposed.
Right. And if it's been less than 6 days, they might give you an injection of immunoglobulin, or IG. It has antibodies that can also help protect you or lessen the severity of the illness.
So those are the 2 options.
Right. But it's really important to note that you can't get both the vaccine and the immunoglobulin at the same time. Your doctor will tell you what's best for your situation.
Okay, that's good to know. And there's one more thing about the MMR vaccine. The CDC says it doesn't work for preventing mumps or rubella after you've already been infected.
Right. So it's really specific to measles.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground here. But we can't talk about measles and the MMR vaccine without addressing some of the misinformation that's out there. What do our sources say about that?
Well, the CDC is very clear about this. They say, and I quote, "There is no link between the MMR vaccine and autism."
Right. I've heard that before.
They say tons of studies have been done both in the U.S. and in other countries, and none of them have found any connection between the MMR vaccine and autism. It's really a settled issue in the scientific community.
So people shouldn't worry about that.
Right. It's important to get the facts from reliable sources. Now, about the safety of the vaccine, the CDC says it has a great safety record. Like all medications, it can cause side effects, but most of them are mild and don't last long. You might have some soreness or redness where you got the shot, a low fever, a mild rash, or maybe some joint pain for a bit.
Okay, so nothing too serious.
Right. Serious side effects are really rare.
That's reassuring.
Yeah.
Dr. Jacobs also talks about the misinformation surrounding the MMR vaccine, right?
Yeah, she's really concerned about it. She says there's so much false information out there, and it can be really harmful. Her advice is to talk to your doctor if you have any concerns or questions. They're the best source of accurate information.
Makes sense. You should always trust your doctor.
Exactly. She also brought up something interesting about the history of the vaccine. Apparently, there was a different type of measles vaccine that was used between 1963 and 1967. It was called the killed measles vaccine. But it wasn't as effective as the one we use now, which is the live attenuated vaccine.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so some adults who got that old vaccine might need to be revaccinated. The CDC recommends at least one dose of the current vaccine for anyone who got the killed vaccine or a vaccine of unknown type back then.
Good to know. Now, another thing people might be wondering about is access to the vaccine. Where can they get it and how much does it cost?
The CDC says there are a lot of places you can get vaccinated. Your doctor's office is the most common, but you can also get it at pharmacies, some workplaces, community health clinics, and local health departments.
Okay, so it's pretty easy to find. What about the cost?
The good news is that most health insurance plans cover the MMR vaccine. But you should always check with your insurance company just to be sure.
Right, it's always better to be safe than sorry.
Exactly. Now, for families who might have trouble affording the vaccine, there's a program called the Vaccines for Children Program, or VFC.
I've heard of that.
It's a government program that provides free vaccines to eligible children.
So no one has to go without protection because of cost. That's great. Now let's talk about long-term immunity. Dr. Jacobs mentioned that if you've already had measles, you're usually protected for life.
Right. She says having measles once usually gives you lifelong immunity. But if you're not sure whether you've had it, you can talk to your doctor about getting a titer test. It's a blood test that checks your immunity levels.
Oh, that's helpful.
Yeah. And the CDC says that people who have been vaccinated with the recommended doses of MMR are also generally protected for life against measles and rubella. Like we said before, immunity to mumps might decrease a bit over time for some people, but overall, the protection is very good. And even if someone who's been vaccinated does get measles, their symptoms are usually much milder and they're less likely to spread the disease to others.
So the vaccine really does make a big difference.
It really does.
Okay, there's one last thing we need to talk about. Dr. Jacobs had some strong words about something called measles parties.
Oh, yeah. She was not a fan of those.
What are they exactly?
Well, it's this idea that some people have of intentionally exposing their kids to measles. They think it's a harmless way for them to get immunity.
That sounds really dangerous.
It is. Dr. Jacobs says it's a terrible idea. She says there's a real risk of serious complications from measles, like pneumonia, encephalitis, which is inflammation of the brain, and even death. In fact, about 25% of unvaccinated people who get measles in the U.S. end up in the hospital.
Wow, it's a lot.
It is. And she also points out that parents who do this could face legal consequences. It's just not safe or responsible.
Absolutely not. So as we wrap up this deep dive, what are the main takeaways you want listeners to remember?
Okay, the most important things are, one, the MMR vaccine is incredibly effective and safe. Two, measles is a highly contagious and potentially very serious disease. And three, vaccination is the best way to protect yourself, your family, and your community from this preventable illness.
Couldn't have said it better myself. So what should listeners do now?
They should check their vaccination records. And if they have any questions or concerns at all, they should talk to their doctor. It's always best to get your information from a trusted healthcare professional.
Right. And going back to what we said at the beginning about that measles outbreak in Texas, it's more important than ever to be informed about this. We all need to understand the facts so we can make the best decisions for ourselves and our families.
Absolutely. And on that note, here's something for everyone to think about. We know the MMR vaccine is safe and effective, and we know measles can be really dangerous. So what responsibility do we have as a society to make sure everyone is protected? What can we do to ensure high vaccination rates and protect the most vulnerable members of our communities?
That's a really important question for all of us to consider. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We hope you found it informative and helpful. And remember, talk to your doctor if you have any questions or concerns.
And stay healthy out there.